There came a time in the life of King David that life tore him apart. Some of you are there. Most, if not all of you, have been there. And honestly, eventually we all find life to be difficult. What had happened was in some ways a father's worst nightmare. It wasn't an enemy that came against him. He would have understood that. It wasn't even one of the generals of his army. No, this was his own son, Absalom. Absalom had stolen the hearts of the kingdom, the people. Stood at the gates, turned people away from his daddy, who was the king appointed by God. And somehow, somewhere along the way, the tide turned. And the people proclaimed Absalom king. And David, in one of the saddest pictures in the Bible for me, the father, daddy, trudges out of Jerusalem with his loyal subjects down into the valley, across the river, and literally and spiritually and emotionally into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. I would like to tell you that I can tell you how to escape the wilderness. And I will tell you this much, if you will obey God's word, you will avoid a lot of hard places. But I also want to tell you that even Jesus Christ himself was thrust by the Spirit into the wilderness. So I want you to understand, for every person here, there will be wilderness experiences, hard experiences, heartbreaking experiences. That's what happened to David. But David is a songwriter. And songwriters write songs in the wilderness. And truthfully, some of the best songs that we ever have come out of the wilderness. The wilderness. And by God's grace, we have the song that he wrote in the wilderness. I think that is so awesome that God would do that. It's found in the middle of your Bible. So get a Bible and turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. I'm holding a pew Bible today. And so if you didn't bring a Bible and you want to pick one up, perhaps it will be on page 512, unless it's a different edition than the one that I have. But we're on Psalm 63. Now, can I tell you again? His heart is broken. This is his son who has risen up against him. He has had to leave the throne. He is in the wilderness. Please let that settle into your minds. I don't know about you, but for many of us, the first thing we would do is practice the whine. The whine. If you've got children, you know what it sounds like, don't you? Huh? But some of us who are adults, we still remember how to whine. I believe it was the great actor Carlton Heston that said, the 11th commandment is thou shalt not whine. I've always remembered that. Well, listen to what David penned in this wilderness hymn. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. There are so many images in this psalm that speak deeply into my soul. But I want you to understand, at the heart of my understanding of the 63rd psalm is this, that the wilderness that nobody wants to be in can nevertheless be a place where you not simply survive. The wilderness can be a place where you can thrive. The child of God can thrive in the wilderness. God's people, chosen by Him, God's people, delivered by Him, saved by Him, God's people can thrive in the wilderness. So, all I want to do is to open this text up to you and answer a simple question. It ought to already be in your mind. How? How can we thrive in the wilderness? It would seem like, by definition, the wilderness is a place where bad things happen to good people. How can we thrive in the wilderness? And I want to tell you, the wilderness that you are in may not be the wilderness of your making. Somebody else may have put you in that wilderness by their decisions. I understand that. But the wilderness for all of us is an unpleasant experience. So how can you say we can thrive? I promise you, this man, David, was thriving in the wilderness. And how he did it is how we can do it. So we start with the very first verse and the very first phrase. Listen to this. He's in the wilderness, but here's what he says. Oh God, you are my God. Listen to that. He is in a hurting and heartbreaking situation. And the first words from his mouth are, oh God, you are my God. Oh, he could have said, you're my daddy's God. That doesn't work as well in the wilderness. He could have said, you are my mother's God, my grandmother's, my grandfather's. He could have said, you are Brother Hosey's. No, he wouldn't have said that. God. But he could say that. He could have even said, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But listen to me. When you are in the wilderness, you need to be rock solid sure of this. If God was your God before you went into the wilderness, God is your God in the wilderness. And He'll be your God when you come out, and you will come out of the wilderness. So let me give you that first answer. The first answer to the question, how can we thrive? And the answer would be simply this. We thrive by affirming our personal relationship with God through Christ. That's how we thrive. David said, oh God, you are my God. By the way, he sang that often. You remember the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a common song for David. And it better be for us. I will tell you this. Satan will come against you in the wilderness. And specifically, Satan will come against you with his lies about who you are. Whether or not you even belong to God. Whether or not you can claim Him as your God, Satan will whisper lies in your ear. And he will say to you, if you are a Christian, why are you hurting like this? Or if you are a Christian, why are you falling to that temptation? But I'm here to say to you that Satan is a liar. And the child of God is still the child of God in the wilderness. Jesus Christ Himself was tempted in the same fashion. Look in your Bible. to Luke 23. It'll just take you a moment to find that. It's Bible drill time, boys and girls. Let's turn. Sword drill. Luke chapter 23. And when you get to Luke chapter 23, notice verse 35. Jesus is on the cross. And yet on the cross he hears the satanic words from the mouths of the rulers of the Jews. Listen to this. Luke 23, 35. Let him save himself, what? If he is the Christ. He's being attacked at his very identity. And from the soldiers in verse 37, Luke 23. If you are King of the Jews, save yourself. Oh, listen. Even our Lord and Master Jesus was tempted with that identity issue. Who is your God? And to whom do you belong? But remember that when Jesus died, His last words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. It's finished. Here's what I'm saying to you. Listen to me carefully. Some of you today are in the wilderness. So what is it I'm saying to you? I'm saying, walk in that wilderness with this song on your lips. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever serve you. God is your God. And whether you can sing or not, say it. Oh God, you are my God. Say it with me, church. Oh God, you are my God. Say it again. Oh God, you are my God. I like to make Satan mad. I do. He comes at me like he comes at you. But I tell you, when I'm in a wilderness experience, I just want to look up to heaven and say, I am yours and you are mine. I belong to you and nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I am yours. You are mine. Oh God, you are my God. That's what you do in the wilderness. And that's how you thrive in the wilderness. There's a second thing in verse 1. And it continues beyond that. But look at verse 1 again. Now remember, David's already affirmed his personal relationship with God. But what's he doing here? Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now listen to me. David is not resting on his previous relationship. This is very important in the wilderness. David is not resting. He's not letting the wilderness shape what he does. He's not letting the wilderness turn him away from God. He's not letting the wilderness cause him to doubt God. No, he is saying, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Look at verse 8. In verse 8 he says, my soul follows close behind you. Now listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Can you say that? Not only can you say, oh God, you are my God. And that's incredibly important. But can you say, my soul follows close behind God? Are you seeking Him early and throughout the day? Did you seek Him yesterday? Are you seeking Him today? Will you seek Him tomorrow? And the psalmist is one in the wilderness who is determined that he will actively pursue a closer relationship with God. Here's my second answer. We can thrive in the wilderness by actively pursuing a closer relationship with God through Christ. How many of us are as close as we could be? Answer, none. We've not arrived. We've not been perfected, like Paul said in Philippians 3. None of us are as close as we could be or even as we should be. But here is what God Himself says. If from anywhere you will seek me, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart and with all your soul. And David said, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to stay after Him. I'm going to follow hard after Him. He was passionate in walking closer to God through Christ. The year was 1968. I've told the story many times. I was between my sophomore No, between, yeah. Come on. Between my junior and senior year at college, and I got a job. I got a job working in Branson, Missouri. I was the parking lot attendant and the custodian for the Ball Knobbers Hillbilly Jamboree. And you know my story. On the stage, Pretty Miss Debbie. White cowboy boots, white leather skirt, black and white frilly blouse, white vest. Sung Harper Valley PTA. And I fell in love with her, and I began to pursue her. Now, she was skittish. I don't know why. She was a full 16 years of age at that time. I don't know what the problem was. But I pursued her. I gave her my class ring that I'd said I'd never give to a girl. But I was in love. And she gave it back not once, not twice, not three times. Four times she gave that ring back to me. Yeah. But I pursued her. And by the grace of God, I married her. And you know what? Listen to me, husbands. I'm still pursuing her today. I didn't stop, and I'm not going to stop. I'll be the oldest man pursuing his wife that you'll ever know, I'll tell you. And the good thing is, she still pursues me. And out of that, and we've been in some wildernesses, haven't we, honey? We really have. You don't know all the stories, you never will, you know. But there's wildernesses in every situation, in every family. But I will tell you that when you keep on actively pursuing a closer relationship, even with your spouse, you can find that. And when you do that with God, He promises you will not seek Him in vain. He's not playing cosmic hide and seek with you. If you will seek Him, you will find Him. That's what David did in the wilderness. He's hurting. We're not talking about how he's feeling. He's hurting. But in his hurt, he says, "Oh God, you are my God." He affirms that personal relationship with God. And out of the pain of his present existence, he says, "Early will I seek you. I'm going to passionately pursue you. I'm going to persistently pursue you because I'm going to walk close to you in the wilderness." And let me tell you, if you ever walk close to God, you need to walk close to Him in the wilderness. Do not let Satan lie and tell you that you don't belong to your Father, because you are His and He will not let you go. So that's two answers. By affirming our personal relationship with God through Christ. How many times do you do that? As many as needed. As many as needed. Secondly, by actively pursuing a closer relationship with God through Christ. Now the question that we look at chapter 63 is simply this. Is there another answer? Is there another answer? If there's not, then I fold my Bible and we're through. But if there's another answer, I want it. And in this case, it's so very clear that I see it without any trouble. And I know you do too. So we go back to our text and we look at verse 3. Now verse 3 is an incredible verse. The loving kindness of God. Sometimes it's translated mercy. Quite frankly, it's hard to translate. But it is that enduring, faithful love of God. The love that won't let go kind of love of God. And here's what David said. Because your loving kindness is what? Better than life. Oh, my friend, can you say that? His loving kindness, His faithfulness is better than life. Then what does it say? Verse 3, here we go. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. David did not stop singing praises because of his pain. He understood. Sometimes you do lament. Sometimes you do. And even in this psalm, you have notes of lamenting. Verse 1, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That is a note of lament. And then when you get to the last part of it with the enemy seeking to kill him, that's lament. But lament and praise are not mutually exclusive. And David said, I'm going to keep singing. And in verse 2, he sung of the power of God. And in verse 2, the glory of God. And in verse 3, the loving kindness of of God. And in verse 5, the sufficiency of God. God is his soul satisfier. Verse 7, he sung about the help of God. And verse 8, the protection of God. And verses 9, 10, and 11, God's vindication over David's enemies. And he sang. Now listen to me. How can I thrive in the wilderness? Are you listening? How do I do that? By affirming my personal relationship with God through Christ. By actively pursuing a closer relationship with God through Christ. Number 3, by always. Everybody say always. By always offering our praise to God. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me. The devil wants to shut your mouth when it comes to praising God. The devil wants you to do what Job's wife told him to do. Curse God and die. And Job said, "You talk like one of the foolish women." Friend, I want you to understand that when we go through the wilderness, and we will go through it, we are to continue to praise, to always praise. Rejoice in the Lord. Always again I say rejoice, Paul would say. By the way, Paul's my illustration here. This is one of my favorite stories. I've written 2 or 3 songs at least, maybe more, about this one experience. But here's Paul and Silas. You remember the story. They have been beaten. They are bruised. They are bleeding. They are in stocks. They are in a stinking prison in Corinth. And what are they doing? Singing praises to God. And listen to this. And the prisoners were listening. Captive audience. Yeah, and they were listening. But I'm telling you, Paul and Silas were thriving in the prison. Thriving in spite of the pain that they were going through. They were in a wilderness, but they were thriving. And they began to sing praises to God. And I don't think it's true, but I still will like it till I die. The man who said that God was listening, and as he heard Paul and Silas singing, he started patting his foot. And that's what caused the earthquake. So I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on singing. And as long as I have life and as long as I have breath, I'm going to say, "Oh God, you are my God." And I'm going to say, "Early will I seek you." And I'm going to say, "With my mouth I will praise your name." And I'll tell you, you'll never run out of reasons to rejoice in God. He's an infinite God. You'll never run out of reasons. I listed 6 or 7 there, but when you get through those, there's 600,000 more reasons to rejoice in God. And so when you come into that time, when you are in the wilderness, thrive by always offering your praise to God. Again, you may have come out of the wilderness, you may be in the wilderness, and there may be a wilderness on Monday. Get ready. And when that wilderness comes, don't just survive, thrive. One of our members that was sitting over here, Randy is his name. Randy came up to me after the service and told me a story. He told me about how he was in excruciating pain for days on end with his back before his surgery. He told me about getting to the point that the only thing that would give him relief was to get down and put a milk carton, one of those plastic milk carton things, and lay over it on the floor so that his back was in a certain position. He would do his Bible study there in excruciating pain. And he said, "One day I decided I would simply try it." He said, "I decided I was going to praise God in that pain." And he said, "I praised Him and I praised Him and I praised Him." He said, "It was the most incredible experience that I've ever had." Friends, I want to tell you something. What I'm telling you and what God's Word is telling you is true. You cannot escape the wilderness, but you can transform the wilderness experience. And when you do, other people will know, "Oh, there is a God." And somebody's going to want that God when they go into their wilderness. Yes. One last word and I'm through. I carry with me the awareness that someone, probably several in this room, could not say with integrity, "Oh God, you are my God." It's not true. your name may be on the roll of this church, and that's a heavy burden on me. But you can't honestly say, oh God, you are my God. Never been that moment of conversion, that moment when your life was touched and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Convicted of your sin, you came to Jesus. You repented of your sins. You put your faith in Him alone. You ask Him to come into your heart and into your life. You gave Him you, and He saved you. Some of you cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's a heavy, heavy burden on my heart. But I want to tell you, by the grace of God, it's still possible. Now, I will tell you, it's not simply your decision. It's really not. The fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit has to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If He doesn't, you're doomed for hell. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's still at work. God's not yet removed Him from the planet Earth. And He's still convicting. Listen, you cannot get saved simply because of your decision, because Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws them. So you don't just get up one day and say, I'm going to be saved. No, no, no. The Father draws you. But listen to me. God still loves the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God still wants to draw you. He still wants to bring you to Him, to restore you to the relationship that was planned from Eden. He wants you to be in the family. And here's the best news of all. Jesus Christ is still the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I read this morning in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who delivers our soul. Who heals all our diseases. Who forgives all of our sins. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And He stands ready to save. He says, those who come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You don't have to worry if He'll receive you. Of course He will. He died for you. Pastor Chad said one of the best lines that I heard of his message last week when he said, Jesus would rather die than for you to go to hell. Jesus would rather die than for you to go to hell. And that's exactly what he did. So if you've not given your life to Jesus, we'll give you the invitation. And if you're a child of God in the wilderness, listen to me, God's people can thrive in the wilderness. And Psalm 63 points us to how that can be. Won't you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I come before You in the sweet name of Jesus. And I'm asking right now for somebody to get saved. For somebody to move from death unto life. For somebody to be delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of Your love, Jesus Christ. Somebody to get forgiveness of sin through the blood He shed for us. But I'm also praying for my brothers and sisters in the wilderness. I'm praying for that lady that is in a horrible wilderness experience. Help her, even in that experience, to be able to thrive. Not to pretend. Not to forget there's laments to be sung too. But along with them, to sing, oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You. Father, I pray for that. And I pray that she will be able to say, my lips will praise You. Father, I pray for the man. I pray for the teenager. I pray for the senior adult. Father, a lot of times they can be in a wilderness different than any they've ever experienced. So help all of us live with the confidence that our God is still God in the wilderness. Whatever you need to do, I ask you to do it. Maybe it's to call somebody to be a part of this church or believer's baptism or both. Lord, help. Thank You for Patricia that came in the last service and made her commitment to walk with us during this part of her spiritual journey. Thank You for it. blessed now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.